Okay, today, what day of the week is it? Sunday. Now, that's an easy question, but not without much controversy. Like usual, the things that we are embracing as Christians have not come without battle. So the very day that we're gathered, it's no exception. Now, why are we worshiping on Sunday? That's the question. In statement of faith, we're looking at the Lord's Day. The fact that we are gathered today, this is our habit, this is our practice, this is when we do this, and we're doing it on Sunday. Now, I'm going to ask you all a question. If somebody came to you and said, "Why are you worshiping on Sunday? Don't you know is the day when the pagans worship the God of the sun? And that's why you should not be worshiping on Sunday. You should be worshiping on the Sabbath, which is Saturday." How would you answer them? Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. And they say, "Well, thank you for that information, but that doesn't change the fact that Sunday was named after the God of the sun. And so the pagans worship the sun god on Sunday, and that's why it's called Sunday." So how do you know you're not involved in pagan worship by gathering on this day, Sunday? You're right. I'm just making it a little difficult for you. How would you answer that? By the way, that's not an empty assault. That's a very real, common, you will find. If you begin to engage people and they are against the church gathering on Sunday, this is one of their arguments. So how would you defend that? I mean, it's named Sunday. I mean, the name says it all, doesn't it? Yes, ma'am. All right. Ah, that's clever. Yeah, worshiping the one who made the sun.
Paul says, "One consider a day greater than the other."
Mm-hmm.
"Let him do it unto the Lord."
Mm-hmm.
"One consider another day lesser than the other. Let him do it unto the Lord."
Yeah. Y'all are right, but they're going to continue to say, "But it's the day that was named after the pagan god of the sun. It's Sunday."
In that line of logic, every day of the week is named after a pagan god. Saturday is Saturday.
Exactly. Yeah. So, Sunday, indeed, named for worship of the sun god. Monday, what does that sound like? Moon. So, can't worship on Monday. Tuesday was named, and it's interesting. So the names of the days of the week are either Greek Roman or like Germanic, Nordic, Viking type. It's weird how do those two things connect? But so Tuesday, we go away from the Greek Roman to the pagan sky god T-I-W. So that's why it's Tuesday. Wednesday, Wednesday, named for the Germanic Norse god Woden or Odin, so it's Odin's Day, Wednesday. Thursday, after a famous Marvel character, what does that sound like? Thor. Thursday is Thor's Day. Friday is for Friha, it's another German, I probably said that more Spanish than the German sound. And as our brother said, Saturday is named after Saturn. So, if you follow that logic, what day can you worship on? If you're not supposed to worship on any day of the week that's named after a pagan god, then what do? You can't worship at all. So that's a rather easy one to defeat. Everything that you all said is absolutely true. But that person will keep bringing you back to that thing. Well, here's another one. Have you heard this? That Sunday worship is the mark of the beast. How many of you have heard that before? Now prove that it's not. Now, they didn't prove that it is. I mean, they said that it is. What are some groups that would tell you that Sunday worship is the mark of the beast? Now, the mark of the beast. What happens if you take the mark of the beast? What happens to you? What does Revelation say? You're damned, condemned. You're thrown into the lake of fire. If you take the mark of the beast, and they're saying worshiping on Sunday is that, they are coming at you about your eternal soul. This is not a Romans 14 issue. No. They're saying this is a salvation issue. And there are tons of documentaries and articles and scholars who'll be more than happy to bring you all kinds of verses and all kinds of proof texts to try to prove to you that you should be worshiping on the Sabbath day. And what day is the Sabbath day? Saturday. The Sabbath day is not Sunday, right? We all agree? The Sabbath day was what day of the week? The last day of the week. The seventh day of the week. What is Sunday? The first day. So did the seventh day become the first day? Did the last day become the first day? Is the first supposed to be last? Is that what that... We know that's not what that's talking about, right? So they will come at you and say, look, here are all these verses that talk about the Sabbath. The Sabbath. The Sabbath. And here it is. Here's the Sabbath. It's right there. And that's the last day of the week. The Lord rested on the seventh day. And you all are gathering not on the seventh day, but on the first day. And then they'll show you through some very shady history that it was the Catholic Church. It's always the Catholic Church. It was the Catholic Church. Council of Nicaea, Constantine. They twisted the days. And that's why you didn't know that this is a Catholic cover-up. And by you worshiping on the Sunday, you have taken the very mark of the beast. So how would you defend against that? All right. Brave soul. Jesus healed on the Sabbath. He sure did. That's right. You were doing your homework. That's this. We didn't even touch the first day of the week yet. Yeah, that's you. Good. I see. He's Yeah. I mean, that's amen. That's what we're going to get to. So you would say that because there was a practice of the first day of the week, then. Well, was the early church worshiping and gathering on the first day of the week? What do you say? Yes. That's okay, though. Oh, we're scared. Don't worry. We're not switching to Saturday here. Yes. Now, prove it. What are some verses that come to mind when you think of? So here's some. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Acts 20, verse 7. And here's something I want you to notice. Remember how we were talking about him we proclaim, right? So as these cults, false religions try to take your mind off of Christ and put it on days, I want you to see how the answer lies in Christ. So, go ahead, sis. Oh, yes, please. I'm sorry.
And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them ready to depart on the morrow, and continued to preach until midnight.
Yeah. We were actually talking about this in the car. Young man fell asleep and had a bad fall. First day of the week. So that language, like Chris was saying, we're going to see that. If you just do a Google search or a Blue Letter Bible or Bible Hub or whatever, and you just put first day of the week, there are several texts. And I could give them to you, but I like to make you work a little bit for these. Yeah. So yeah, First Corinthians 16. Two. You could do one and two. Okay, so I'm going to give you some. Mark 16:9. We know this is the contested long ending of Mark, but
now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons.
Luke 24:1. You can read verse 2.
But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb.
John 20, verse 19. As our sister Sunny already read Acts 20, verse 7, and Chris read 1 Corinthians 16:2. So here we see a pattern. The Lord rose on the first day. He visits them on the first day. The church, we see them gathering on the first day. Paul says, on the first day of every week, collect this money. There is a pattern that we see the New Testament following the first day of the week. Why? All evidence points to because the Lord rose on the first day. And that's the significant event in the Christian life. That's what it's all about, right? The resurrection. Our Savior is alive. He rose again. When did he rise? He rose on the first day. When did he come in and you know, he could have risen on the first day and then seen them on the Sabbath day, but he didn't do that. He came to them on the first day. They were gathered on the first day, and the church continued to gather on the first day. And then we get something interesting. We get the term that we use from Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. Here's the interesting thing about that. If you take out day, can you think of anything else that we refer to as the Lord's something? The Lord's Supper, right? And what is that? That is a special meal set aside from every other meal. We eat many meals, but the Lord's Supper is unique. And that same Greek language, that same grammar is used here. The Lord's Day, just like the Lord's Supper. And here is John in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Now, the Lord makes every day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And yet we see something here about a unique day, the Lord's Day. And taking that along with this pattern that we see throughout the New Testament, of the saints, because of the resurrection, gathering on the first day, Christians have seen Sunday, the first day, as the Lord's Day, signifying when Jesus rose from the dead. Now, is this the way that the church understood this? Or is this a unique 20th, 19th century? I mean, have we departed from the old paths, as J.C. Ryle would say? Have we gone away from the old paths? You know, do we need to be reformed, get back to the original, which was Sabbath worship? Or is there something to this first day of the week, Lord's Day? Well, there's an early Christian writing. Some of you may have heard of it. It's called the Didache. Anyone ever heard of Didache before? It basically means the teaching. This was something that was written somewhere between the year 50 and 120, so it's very early. It's basically during the life of the contemporaries. This was probably, perhaps, being written during the same time as the book of Revelation. So this is very early. And here's what it says. It's really short. It's very encouraging. I recommend it to you. You can find it online. Here's section 14. It says, on the Lord's own day, gather yourselves together and break bread and give thanks, first confessing your transgressions, that your sacrifice may be pure. And let no man, having his dispute with his fellow, join your assembly until they have been reconciled, that your sacrifice may not be defiled. For this sacrifice it is that was spoken of by the Lord. In every place and at every time, offer me a pure sacrifice. For I am a great king, saith the Lord, and my name is wonderful among the nations. Now, this is not scripture. What this is if you imagine us, right? We are part of the early church or one of many local churches. in the first century. And we have been following the apostles' teaching. We have received the word. We have maybe even met some of these men or met disciples of them. Perhaps Timothy came to meet with us. Maybe we got a copy of one of Paul's letters, and we're following along in the apostles' doctrine. And we write something. Maybe I write something. One of you writes something. And that's what this is. This is laying out the practice of the early church. And this is early. Again, I'm talking about AD 50. Jesus was crucified around what year? AD what? Yeah, like 33 something. This is AD 50. This is very early. It's amazing that we actually have this. And you see that language, on the Lord's own day. Another translation of the Greek, but every Lord's day, gather yourselves together. So that same language that was used in Revelation, that same idea of the first day of the week, was being used in the early church historically. So they understood it the way that I'm presenting it to you. And then Ignatius, anyone ever heard that name? Early church father. Here's what he had to say in his letter to the Magnesians, Lord's Day, on which also our life has sprung up again by him and by his death, whom some deny, by which mystery we have obtained faith and therefore endure, that we may be found the disciples of Jesus Christ, our only master. How shall we be able to live apart from him, whose disciples, the prophets themselves in the spirit, did wait for him as their teacher? And therefore, he whom they rightly waited for, having come, raised them from the dead. And then he has Matthew 27:52. So here, again, early, Ignatius says, the habit of the Christians was not to observe the Sabbath, but to worship on the Lord's day. Is there a command in Scripture to worship on Sunday? Anybody? Anybody say yes? How many say yes? Very good. Y'all like, I ain't saying nothing. No, there is no command in Scripture to worship on Sunday. We do it because this is the day when our Lord rose from the dead. We do it because everything we do is about him. This is what I was saying. Here are these cults trying to have your attention off of Christ and focused on a day. And what is the response to it? Our Lord rose on the first day of the week. That's why we worship on the first day of the week. You see, it all goes back to Christ and finding our answer in him. Well, I have said quite a bit. What thoughts are running through y'all's head? Any questions? Did I stir any ideas? Yeah. I mean, Jesus is laying theological frameworks. It's not about a mountain. It's not about a building. It's not even so much about a day. It's about who you're worshiping. I mean, that's what this is all about. And once the gospel, see, remember, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the world. In a Jewish context, Sabbath worship on Saturday, gathering together, which was the pattern that we see early in the book of Acts, when the gospel was in Jerusalem, when it was Jewish, very Jewish. But as it begins to branch out as the Lord intended, I mean, you go to places like Iran, and there is no Sabbath day off. You're not getting Saturday off. You're not getting Sunday off either. Friday is their holy day. So imagine the Christian bound by this. I need to observe the Sabbath. I live in this Muslim country where I am absolutely restricted from observing this day in the way that the Sabbath? You can't even pick up sticks. You're not supposed to do anything. You're not supposed to work. How can I do this? I've talked to you all many times, I think, about this. Slaves. Our family, we read through that book, 12 Years a Slave, Solomon Northup, man kidnapped, sold into slavery. He was a free man, 12 years as a slave. They had one day off a year, and it was Christmas. One day. So in 12 years, I know, I think it's like, what? For real? In 12 years, he had 12 days off. That's it. How can he worship the Lord on a particular day when his master would have beaten him to a bloody pulp if he would have said, I can't do any work today? And you see, the Lord didn't exclude slaves. He gave slaves encouragement. Ephesians, Colossians, we're going to look at this. As the gospel begins to branch out, you begin to come into areas where it's not Jewish at all. It's pagan, it's Islamic, it's communistic. There are all these other contexts, and they want to worship the Lord. And if, as some of these people who would seek to put burdens upon you would say, if it was true that you had to stick to Saturday, and you had to observe it as the Sabbath was to be observed, then what do we do with all of this Gentile exposure? We begin to find great problems. So there's no command to worship on Sunday. Why do we worship in the morning? Why don't we meet at night on Sundays? Why the morning? Well, because the Lord rose in the morning, right? I mean, that's historically what it's been about. It all boils back to him. He rose early in the morning, so we meet early in the morning. He rose on the first day of the week, so we meet on the first day of the week. Everything we do is about him. The Lord's Supper is about him. Baptism is about him. The Lord's Day is about him. Our preaching is about him. Our fellowship is about him. Our singing is about him. It's all about him. So it would be consistent that the day that we meet would also be about him. All right, I saw some other hands. Yeah. And like Kenzie mentioned about one person observing one day and others seeing every day alike. And we're actually coming to, and I'm trying to save some of it from when we get there in Colossians, because it's coming and it's a glorious passage about moons and feasts, festivals, Sabbaths, and not letting anyone judge you, not let anyone put this burden upon you, because these things are just a sign. They're a shadow, but the fullness is in Christ. He's the fulfillment of it all. So many people, they keep trying to pull us back to signs and shadows and types when we have the fullness. So, yeah, you're right, sis. We're the universal church gathers together, and yet some of them are going to sleep right now because they've already had their time together. Now, this does not mean that there are not Christians who would say there's a Christian Sabbath. That's a freedom within the body of Christ. Some would say the Lord's Day and the Sabbath have joined, and it's Sunday. There's freedom. What I'm saying is those who would say the Sabbath is Saturday and the Sunday is a pagan thing, and you're not supposed to worship on Sunday because the Sabbath is the Sabbath. So just making sure I make that distinction. Any other thoughts or questions? Yeah, so I was looking into this, and you know, language is interesting. In the Latin, there is like a sabado kind of thing when it comes to Saturday. Or the Sabbath day. But the origin is a Hebrew word, which doesn't sound anything like our Saturday or... it's a very different sound, very different thing. But yeah, I mean, words are built, vocabulary is built, and they start somewhere. And there's no question that Christianity, I mean, Jesus controls the calendar, right? Somebody once said, you know, you ever think, why do we even have a 7-day week still? It makes sense in Israel why they had one, but why has the world universally just accepted 7-day weeks? This is God's world, right? I mean, he sets the tone. So it would make sense that language is influenced by truth. So, yeah, that's very likely. In the year. Yeah. It's 2020, it's 2020 no matter where you go. Yep. And zero, year zero, the Lord is born. Everything starts over at the arrival of the Messiah. Everything is counting down to his arrival, and then everything begins going. BC, year starts and it's counting down, and then it goes forward. It's all about him.
This question is about, like, we don't have any commitment saying that we worship on the Lord's Day. And the counter argument would be like, we have a commitment to worship on the Sabbath day. And they think that we in the movement, because my question is, like, we have an example where Sabbath was a real worship instead of following the law. I know we still feel rest, but do we have any comments saying that worship on the Sabbath?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. As you said, that's what they say. I say, oh, where? Day of rest, no work, no stick gathering, no making of meals. You're supposed to prepare your food the night before so that you're not doing anything on the day of.
Yeah.
But we see a pattern in the book of Acts where the disciples would go to the synagogue on what day? On the Sabbath day. Whatever city they went to, they wouldn't go to the to the synagogue on the Sabbath. And why would they do that? That's where the people were. You know. Now, were all the people there? Well, we know the synagogue wasn't fully inclusive of everyone. Everyone wasn't welcome in there, but there was definitely Jewish men who were gathered in the synagogue on the Sabbath day to read the word, to worship the Lord. That was a practice. And the disciples wanted to take the gospel to the people. And Paul, he's like, I'm going to the Jewish people. I'm going to the Jewish people because the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And Paul's being instructed by the Lord himself. So he goes to them. Whatever city, that was his practice. But they rejected the message. He said, all right, taking this gospel to the Gentiles. And then we don't hear anything else about the Sabbath. Another thing to consider about Sabbath is the Jerusalem Council. Does anybody not know what? Somebody explain, what is the Jerusalem Council in the book of Acts? I think you're about to say. No? All right, so it's in Acts 15, and what is it, brother?
Well, there was Judaizers, I think is what the word uses, believing Jews who were going among the Gentiles following Paul and Barnabas, saying that they also needed to adopt certain aspects of the law of Moses, especially circumcision was the main issue, and that became a major stumbling block to the Gentile believers.
Yeah.
So much so that Paul and Barnabas felt like they needed to go back to Jerusalem to where the elders, Peter, James, and John, especially, and have a finality to this.
Yeah.
Where do we stand on this, brothers?
Yeah.
And so that council concluded with a statement that said something to the effect of, okay, so long as they abstain from blood sacrifice, or that as long as the blood mingled with something, and then anything sacrificed to idols, that much should be requested of the Gentiles. Otherwise, we leave them alone because we're putting on them a yoke that none of our fathers were able to keep.
Yeah, and sexual immorality was another thing. Which, if you know, why those things? Because that was their worship. When the Gentiles gathered together, those are the elements that was found in their worship. But notice what's missing from that list. The Sabbath. Nothing about the Sabbath. Now, this is something that is so important to the Jews, so important to the church. So this is the mark of the beast. I mean, this is the thing. You need to make sure that you are keeping this law. Otherwise, you're lawless. And here come these Gentiles. And they're like, OK, tell us what we're supposed to do. What are we supposed to keep doing? And here you got Peter, you got James, you got John, you have the disciples. Paul's there. I mean, these are the big guys. And they put together this statement saying, send this to all the Gentiles. Anyone who wants to follow Christ, here you go. Not a single whisper about the Sabbath. That says a lot by saying nothing. So, we worship on Sunday because, why? Christ rose from the dead on Sunday. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
Like our logic for doing it, right? It's not
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes, so the Lord said to observe the Lord's Supper. Thank you for helping me clear that up. What I was saying is that when John uses that language, the Lord's Day, even the in your Bible, you know, capitalization and all that kind of thing in the Greek language is not there, but there's that definite article, meaning this is, it stands out from all the other days. It's the same type of language that's used when it talks about the Lord's Supper. Not that there was a command from the Lord to observe this day, but that's how it's spoken of. So I was just trying to, you know, build that. John refers to a day with the same language that the scripture writers refer to the Lord's Supper. That it stands out, that it is special and unique. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Nowhere are we commanded to worship on the Lord's Day. So thank you for helping me to clear that up. It's the human desire to earn salvation, righteousness. Give me a law. Give me something I can do so that I can say, I have earned this by my own hands. It's in our children. It's in us. We have to be careful not to, you know, after I sin, now I got to try to earn my way back. Look, Lord, I did these things, so now you can accept me again. It's a real temptation. And in lost humanity, yeah, it's this drive. I got to do something. Let me do something. Give me a list. Give me a law. Give me something to do. So, when you talk to these people, they will fight you tooth and nail because that's the slavery. And the freedom in Christ is this new covenant. I will. I will. The Lord again and again. I will. So we keep putting Christ to them and they'll keep bringing law to you. But Christ is able to break through all of that. Well, any other final thoughts? This is a pretty short section, no part one or two on this one. We gather on Sunday because it's the Lord's Day. And, encouragement to brothers and sisters. They might be in the military, they're in war, and, you know, police officers and hospital work. I mean, all these people who work in these different spheres of life. And in a very, very, very limited way, like slaves who had to work all week. They couldn't choose the day that they said, I want to be off on this day. There's the help that comes from freedom to worship the Lord every day and any day, and to set a special day apart. Okay, Father, thank you for a day that we can gather. Thank you for the joy to look forward to a day. Our children look forward to certain days, birthdays and celebrations. We look forward to anniversaries. We look forward to the weekend. We look forward to days off. We look forward to days that come. And you've given us a day to look forward to when we can be, where we can be together at your feet, beholding you, focusing upon you, loving you, that we can be energized and strengthened to go back to the rest of our days mindful of this day. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.